Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio, we've got Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And at the marker board, being quiet while we podcast, is Grandbaby Rowan. Thank you, Grandbaby Rowan. See, she's working
look,
at her
she's
being
looking
quiet.
At her.
That's some pretty good quiet. Turn around, let me see your face. Yeah. When you were a two-year-old, you couldn't do that.
Or even three.
Hey, people, we talk about...
I still can't.
didn't we talk about self-regulation a little while ago?
Yeah.
See, when they build the skills, when they're ready, when they've had the practice, they're able to do it. That's not what this episode is about, though. This episode is about a phrase.
A phrase.
Yeah. So we're in Australia, doing the presentations and talking about loose parts, and we're talking about how, you know, sometimes loose parts play looks a little bit more chaotic, and they don't. It's really hard to see the learning sometimes if you're not trained to look for it. These kind of things. And Judith, one of the participants, the assistant director, I think, at the number two person in charge of the program we were doing the presentation at, she said, you know, it takes courage.
Mm.
And I really liked that phrase, the idea that sometimes to try new things and to kind of go against the grain sometimes of what's going on often in the profession, and to challenge yourself, that it takes a little bit of personal courage to put yourself out there and live your philosophy and change your practice and those kind of things. And so I thought maybe there was a conversation in that.
Well, it's true.
Well there I we think go. So. There you go, Judith.
Woohoo! Yay, Judith.
I think it takes courage to, it's kind of like standing up for what you believe in, you know, and I can kind of see a overdramatic movie episode or a scene in my head where somebody's like, by golly, you know, you will not tear down the building, you know, and it's the same kind of thing. I think it becomes easier to appear courageous to defend what you believe in when you're knowledgeable about it. I think that makes it a little bit easier, which is why the binder challenge is something I'm still out there telling people about, because the more I think information and knowledge that you have, the more confident you're going to be able to be like,
exactly.
This is why we don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm. But you used to.
I did, and then I started reading.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you used to. Well, yeah, but you know, you did the research, the reading, and
I changed my mind. So it takes it. I think it takes courage not only to embark on that process, but then to also, to let people go who aren't willing to move with you.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that takes courage to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm evolving a little bit over here in my practice. You're still over here doing craptivities and worksheets. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kind of break up with you.
Yeah.
Well, so much of the courage comes from the fact that you have to face risk and fear. And
failure.
And yeah, yeah.
And perhaps rejection.
Yeah, yeah. And those are all things that we're wired to.
I knew you were going to say wired.
We're wired. We're built to resist and avoid
those situations.
That reptilian part of the brain, that lizard brain, its whole job is to protect us. And when we start thinking about doing something risky or challenging, we're kind of wired to shy away from that and stay in our comfort zone. And so to be courageous, to go out and change the way we do things, to change the way we look at the world and act in the world, we have to face those fears, and it can be terrifying.
Well, it's reminding me a lot about, in fact, before we even started and I didn't articulate this, I was like, how is this different than do the scary thing? Because it takes courage to do the scary thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something we've come back to in the podcast for a couple of years now, is the need to go out there in the world and put yourself out there. And
stepping out of your comfort zone.
You get to get comfortable with the discomfort of it.
Well, do you remember, I'm honestly asking, do you remember, like, the first time you stood up for a play-based program? Like, can you get back to a memory of... like, that was the first time I ever had to talk to anybody about that. And I'm not asking because I have one. I'm just wondering if there's conversation here.
I don't remember.
Nothing comes to mind? No.
Rowan has some thoughts on this. You have thoughts about doing the scary thing, don't you?
Yeah, but I also want to go to... places that I can't without a passport, too.
With the passport.
Papa will get you a passport. Now, talk about the scary thing. What does your daddy tell you about scary things?
Well, he tells me not to watch scary shows yet because I get scary dreams, but I think I can do that on my own to help my scary dreams by dreaming about Batman.
Maybe Batman will help you in your scary dreams.
Papa's trying to get you to say something in particular.
That's not the scary thing. I thought you were looking at, because when we started talking about the scary thing, I saw a look on your face. What does your papa tell you about letting your daddy tell you about letting the fear? What shouldn't you let the fear do?
Control yourself.
You shouldn't let the fear control you. Is that what your daddy tells you?
Yep.
And so when does he tell you that?
Sometimes when I get hurt.
When you get hurt, or when you get scared of stuff, or when you're learning to use loud tools and things like that, that sometimes you get a little bit scared and your daddy tells you not to let the fear control you. Do you let the fear control you? That doesn't make good podcast. You shaking your head is a good podcast.
Nope.
What do you do?
I just say, Dad, I know this already. We've been fooled when I got that bone on my arm.
Oh yeah, you got a little, when you were welding, you got a little spark landed on you and you got a little burn, didn't you? But did you stop welding?
No.
And now you have a story.
Okay, hit the road.
Bye.
Look at my rainbow.
That's a delightful rainbow. To get in there and do that scary. I think for your question about first time having to defend play. We in the center days, and we started the child care center, and we're in a church basement, and I wanted a building. I wanted my own building, and it took a long time to convince my bosses to spend $1 million to buy me a building and an architect and furnish it. And I had to do a lot of defending on my position of what that program should look like. And I happened to be working with people that mostly trusted me, although that's a shitload of money. And we ended up building a decent place, and then we burnt out and quit and left.
And now we're here.
And now we're here.
Yes.
I remember when we were looking to start the Ooey Gooey business, which initially, as many of you know, was initially called Learning Through Adventure Company. And we were like, do we do this? I mean, this is, you're going to, what, like, this is huge. And I remember this stupid, cheesy little article. It wasn't even an article. It was like a blurb in like a Good Housekeeping magazine. And forgive me, because I'm not going to quote this the right way because it's been too long. But it said, we asked, you know, a building, like a convalescent home, an old, I don't even know what you call them now. It was an old folks home, right?
Mm-hmm.
A nursing home. Thank you.
A retirement village.
Doubt it was a village. But anyway, and we asked, if you were to do anything different, what would it have been? And like 95% of the respondents said that they would have taken more risks. That's what pushed us over the edge and said, you know what, we're going to dump everything into this and we're just going to see where it goes. And
sink or swim.
And I've never looked back.
Lovely. Well, one of my favorite examples of this is our buddy Squats. From the
using a new nickname, you have to bring people up to speed.
Well, I'm going to our buddy Squats.
The S going to be on there, or
I don't know if she's gonna put on her sweatshirt, but that's the nickname.
All right.
Squats is the nickname. Squats, our buddy Kristen from the Q&A with TNK podcast. Kristen was working on a program and she wasn't happy and she quit and said, I'm starting my own program. And then she made it happen. And up in Alexandria, Minnesota, Butterfly Hill is a beautiful program. But Kristen wasn't done. Kristen decided she was going to start a forest school, too. And so Kristen fucking started a forest school. And then Kristen decided she wanted to start an elementary school. And now Kristen and a couple partners are making an elementary school in their community start that's going to be a very play-based, outside kind of program. And that's courageous. It takes guts to do that shit. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the fun things we're having with the podcast and the Uncon and this other kind of the stuff we're involved in is that we're having opportunities to spend more time with people who are doing their scary thing. And being courageous.
And the things that takes courage.
Yeah, and being courageous about their practice. And it doesn't have to be a big hairy scary thing like starting a elementary school.
It could be deciding that you're closing your company or your business at 6 p.m. even because that's when your other family gets home, but maybe you've been open till 7:30 and it's just wearing and tearing on you.
Yeah.
I mean it could be very subtle baby steppy steps.
It could be you're deciding you're going to have the easel out every day.
It could be.
I mean, it could be deciding that the blocks get to go to the dramatic play area. All of this is a process. All of this is a journey. And the thing about doing the scary thing, the thing about being courageous is that it builds on itself. And so when you do that first thing,
snowballs.
It gets easier to do it the next time and the time after that.
If you let yourself sit with that baby change for a little bit, right? If you try and do too many, that's going to be too much and it's too overwhelming. Allow yourself to have that that success of whatever that first step was
before feeling comfortable with it.
Exactly. And then recalibrates.
You acclimate to it.
Yes, this becomes our new normal, so to speak. And now what's the next thing that I'm going to start doing? And then before you know it, you have made you've made leaps and bound changes in your program that started because you said yes to one thing.
Yeah. I'm reluctant to talk about myself. I mean, it's not something I do very often on the podcast.
He's so shy and quiet.
I'm kind of a wallflower, but I got a story.
Of course you do.
This is an Australia story. This is our last trip to Australia story. And it's just about...
Your most recent trip to Australia.
No, not most recent. That was a joke. That was the joke, Nicole. Not last. We'll see you in a couple months. So this time we were driving around on a bus. Tasha and I had a bus to drive around the Australia in, and it was an old, not too old, but kind of old, early 2000s, like a mini small city type bus converted into a motorhome. And it was a Japanese make, so that all of the writing on the dash and things were in Japanese. And unknown to us until we picked it up, it was a manual transmission. And now the plan had been Tasha was going to do a hunk of the driving and that kind of stuff because, you know, I'm the freaking talent.
So I drive.
So, you know.
It works.
I shouldn't have to be the chauffeur too. But and so we get this bus and now here's us Americans in Australia. So we have to drive on the... wrong side of the road.
Sit on the wrong side of the vehicle.
Sit on the wrong side of the vehicle and shift
with your opposite hand.
With the wrong hand in this vehicle that's about twice as long as my Suburban. And
a little bit wider.
And wider, and it's just huge. And I loved this thing once we got to know it. And we're on the outside of a Newcastle, which is kind of hilly and a lot of twisty, turny roads. And so I'm trying to manage all five gears of this bus, twisting and turning up and down these hills. And then you get into Newcastle, which is a not huge city, but I mean, there's traffic and it was uncomfortable and yes. It was awkward. And, yes. And when you're doing those new things, when you're doing, the things your brain aren't used to, your brain sucks up a lot of energy. And so I find myself being a little bit shorter with Tasha than I like to be, because I'm trying us not to die. and then 48 hours later, it's a little bit easier. And a week later, I'm starting to get the hang of it. And by the time we're done with the bus,
you bought it.
having it shipped home. By the time we're done with the bus, I'm able to. I mean, remember our last trip through the mountains in the dark? But I'm able to drive the bus one handed and shift and drink a bottle of ginger beer at the same time. So we can acclimate to those new things, but it takes time, and it takes us. Most of it is just the being willing to ride the wave of discomfort.
Okay, so I'll play similar story.
Yeah,
Tokyo last October.
Yeah, way different, I bet.
The train system. Oh my God, same kind of type of thing. But I literally
a lot of stuff written in Japanese in Tokyo too.
No, it's mostly yes, and English. But my God, the train system there, I mean, you can Google it, like a four layers, like stories down, the one train line starts with an O, it's the orange line, and it was like, they called it like the journey to the center of the earth just to get down to that line, and then there's three lines above that line, and I mean, I joke sometimes that I think of myself sometimes as a toddler, because I need... Sometimes I talk to myself. I'm like, okay, so this is what we're going to do today, and we're going to figure this out, and you're going to, you know, just be methodical. I say that to myself constantly, just be methodical. Don't see all of it. Just break it down to one thing at a time. Well, same type of deal. After about 48 hours, I mean, I went on, I figured out how to get the pass, and I just started taking the train everywhere, and before you know it, I was actually able to see more of the environment. Because I did the scary thing, and I said, "What are you going to do? Sit in this? You can't just sit here. You got to figure this out." And I did, and consequently had way more of a richer experience over there than I ever imagined. Okay. Because I got on the frickin' train.
Yeah. So I to loop it back to the work we do with young children, I think we often allow ourselves to get stuck in this rut of complacency. Where
familiarity, yeah, same thing.
We're just, this is the way it is, and I'm okay with that. Although that often comes with maybe periodic yearnings for things to be different. And the only way anything changes is for us to take action. If you're waiting for a new program director to come in and fix your program and change policies, it's not going to happen.
Nope.
And if you're waiting for that coworker to retire, so you got somebody...
Or quit. Just quit.
I was trying to be polite, but yeah, quit, get fired, so that you have somebody in your classroom that you are a lot of like mind with, so you can run the class way the way you want to. It's not going to happen. The way change happens is if you are proactive and you get out and you're the courageous one, and if you are willing to do the scary thing and make the change happen, that's the only way things are going to change. Like I say in presentations, if you're waiting for somebody else to come along and fix things, you're going to wait a long time. It's just not going to happen. You have to be the one. You have to be the one that takes the step. You have to be the one that faces the fear. You have to be the one that faces the challenge.
Which requires you to decide if it's really something you care that much about.
Yeah.
Right, because sometimes it's easy to just whine and complain about something. Mm-hmm. But if it's really, 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 really a problem and you're not willing to do anything about it, it probably isn't that big of a problem to you.
Yeah, living with it or whining and complaining are really easy things to do. And I mean, whining and complaining, it looks like you're doing something.
But no, it doesn't.
But there's nothing productive there. I mean, it's burnt calories. It's empty words. Nothing productive
just
comes from it.
Putting you more in a negative mood, and then the people around you are being pulled down also.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And not to be, what's that cliche-ish, but the definition of insanity is what?
I don't know.
If you continue to expect different results from the same behavior.
How do you know that? Have you been diagnosed?
Only on Wednesdays.
So you were courageous and rode the subway. I was courageous and drove a bus. You ran a race today. That was courageous.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I was just thinking back, going back to when we were in Australia and you had to drive because I do not do manual at all. Well, I had to do the stuff that Jeff usually does. If we stayed at a caravan park, I had to go in and book us in and stuff, where I usually just sit in the vehicle while he does that and gather all my
goodies.
Had
some role shifting.
Yes, exactly.
You know who pumped all the diesel on that trip into that bus?
Smelling diesel fumes in 100 degree or higher. Lovely. Yes.
Do you have any nose hairs left?
I'd be fine if I didn't. They're kind of irritating after a while. But no, I got to pump, go in and pay for the diesel. And it was the pump, you had to watch it. Because if you waited for it to click off, you overflowed.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm staring there, so my hair had to be pulled back. And there was a technique. You had to learn something new. And so I'm watching it and going, okay.
Yeah. And
at you.
I'm just sitting there in the cab, the bus, drinking my ginger beer and the air conditioning. And other guys are pulling up and pumping their own gas and looking at me and see that my woman is pumping the gas. So.
Then I would wash the windshield, too, and they would give him a look like, yeah.
I'd get that, you got that lady well-trained, my brother.
My brother.
The only reason she's well-trained is because it's a manual.
Please don't send me any emails for that. Oh, yeah. That's not what I was really thinking. She's my lovely sweet wife, and I'm not really...
And I was glad I was able to do something, and it was out of my comfort zone.
I'm not really that much of a jerk for those particular reasons. I'm a jerk for other reasons.
For entirely different reasons.
Still gets the eye roll, a mom look, or a smack once in a while, just because it's all
keeps
good.
Him in line.
Just because I'm courageous. I'm courageous enough to say dumb stuff. We got any more on this? Anything to wrap it up?
Put a bow on it.
I think it's just if you're looking at change, you gotta be the one that makes it happen. Oh no, I got something.
Funny. I almost think that we could do a follow-up episode with us spending a few actual minutes of thinking about times in our own practice that we were courageous. Like, I remember when I quit the center for the first time, or when I was, when I quit a job because what was happening there was not good. I mean,
mm-hmm. Was it courageous when we decided for our event with Dan in Minnesota that we aren't going to go through the state approval program?
Sure.
Because Minnesota wanted us to sign a document that said we weren't going to say anything bad about the way Minnesota does childcare, essentially. We had to promise we weren't going to badmouth their quality rating system or their licensing or whatever it is, all that kind of stuff. And the thing is, there's no way we would go in intentionally to badmouth those things, but it would be a lie to say that if it came up, we weren't going to answer honestly. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that we would do this event we're doing, or by the time you hear this, without getting state approval. And we send an email out to everybody that already pre-registered at the
time. In case it was an issue for them.
And the only responses I got was, good. Sounds like a good choice. And so the other thing about being a bit courageous now and then is that other people have a respect for that.
Also, I think because it shows consistency with your stated belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and I think that is often what is respected not that you did that thing, but wow, they're not willing to compromise. Like, what they're out there saying, they're really out there doing.
I think it helps people who are thinking of it to hear stories and go, well, I can do that. Other people are doing it. Mm-hmm. I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I want to throw out there before we wrap it up is do this in your personal, away from life, work, away from work life.
As well.
Yes. Because, you know, life is way too short. You're all going to die. I mean, not today. Your iPhone isn't going to explode as soon as this episode ends. That would, I mean, it's just. This
God, if it did, that would suck.
This isn't Mission Impossible. At the end of this recording, this podcast will self-destruct in 30 seconds. No, that's not going to happen. But look, life is short. Live it. Be passionate about it. And do a courageous thing once in a while. Because you're, like Lisa said, at the end of the day, when you're looking back, that might be something that you regret if you don't. So get out there and do it. And you know what? If you do, playvolutionhq.com and tell us about it, because we'd like to have that conversation with you. Thanks for listening. Go to the internet and come and hang out with us. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. Join us online at playvolutionhq.com and learn how to support the show at explorationsearlylearning.com/support. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.